Sometimes for nothing, just because of our faith, just because of who we are in Christ, there are times that we will experience persecution. Remember, we're going through 1 Peter, and the book of 1 Peter is clearly written by Peter to a church that was in suffering. And suffering can take all kinds of forms. It may take the form of challenges within our family. It may take the form of challenges at work. Sometimes, though, there is an active act of persecution against us. There are things that are directly against us, and it is because of our faith. And there's the temptation to say, why should I suffer for my faith? God, didn't you come so that I could be your child? And surely you want your child to experience only good things. Why do we experience suffering? And more importantly, perhaps, how can we be different in those times of suffering? Sometimes we don't understand why, but we have an enemy. And we have an enemy who is seeking to destroy us. We actively are in a battle. And sometimes we sleep. It's no mistake, it's no accident that in Scripture over and over again we see the Bible describe how we walk through these challenging times. One of, I think, most people's favorite psalms is Psalm 23. I just want to read verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The psalmist knows that not only are there times whenever we experience challenges, but sometimes we literally walk through the valley where the shadow of death, where it seems that death, it seems that life as we've known it and as we've, the joy of life is disappearing. And the psalmist says, right in the midst of those most challenging of times, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And for every single one of us, there will come times. I love the good times. We express joy and happiness in those good times, and we rejoice in the Lord. But every single one of us will at some time face those challenges and perhaps even persecution. Even targeted towards you as a believer, times of persecution. And so in those times, whenever the enemy attacks, and we cling to the hope that we find in him, that in the shadow of the valley of death, how do we live? How do we live differently with a different perspective in times of persecution? I want us to look today, this is our last message from 1 Peter in this series, but I want us to look at 1 Peter 4. Verses 12 through 19, that says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. As we've gone through 1 Peter just about every week, I've said, these verses are amazing. These verses are incredible whenever we realize the persecution that they were enduring at the hand of Nero and those who came after him. But they were experiencing this great suffering, this great time of persecution. And over again, Peter reminds them that they are his people, they are God's people, and that in the midst of all the suffering, in the midst of the worst challenges that they could possibly imagine, that we could possibly imagine, that they were called to live differently. They were called to live not according to their circumstance, but to the grace and peace that God gives in the midst of circumstance. How often is it that we are in challenging circumstances? And no doubt about that. I know some of you, and I know that have gone through incredibly challenging circumstances. The times were not easy. The times were hard. You faced things that were unfair. The things that you had to deal with were not the things that you hoped for. And yet in the midst of that, the question is, do we live according to our circumstance or do we live according to something else? The grace and peace that God gives us. Peter says, don't be surprised as though something strange was happening. And sometimes there's that temptation that we live whenever those challenging times come, we're surprised. We think, why in the world am I having to go through this? What is it that I'm having to go through this? And there's a new song out that talks about it. It says, I used to think that when the times were hard, it was because God was angry at me or that I'd done something wrong. Now I understand that God is above these problems. God is above these issues. That the issues that my circumstances speak to the fact oftentimes that I have an enemy, not that God has deserted me. So how do we live not being surprised as though something were strange were happening? We live in a time now in Germany. Today is the vote in Germany. If you're a German citizen, I hope you vote today sometime over the course of the day. It's Landes, it's for our state. But in Germany, we don't often experience direct persecution. But that's not the case worldwide. In fact, today is one of the hardest times worldwide for persecution of Christians. In fact, on average, think about this, on average, every single month for approximately the last decade, 322 followers of Christ have been killed for their faith. On average, every month for the last decade. Not only that, but on average, every month, right now, 214 churches and property, pieces of property belonging to churches, are being destroyed, burned to the ground, or torn apart, taken away. Every month, there are approximately 772 acts of violence, right now, against believers. Rape, beatings, torture, imprisonment, acts of violence. Every single month. And just because we are in a time right now where we do not face that directly, that does not mean that it will never come. Why are you surprised, Peter says, as though something strange were happening? This is what happened to Christ. Why would we be surprised whenever we as his people have to experience the same thing? Now, a couple of weeks ago, whenever we talked last on 1 Peter, we talked about the way there is a way to avoid this. Remember, you can avoid the problem, the issue of persecution, of discomfort, that kind of thing. Craig Groeschel says it this way. He says, if you pursue comfort, you can pursue comfort as a follower of Christ. It's possible, and you will avoid opposition. But Scripture is clear. If our priority is our comfort, and we avoid that, if we do all it takes to simply avoid opposition, any problems, we simply want to make things easy, we're more concerned about our comfort than about being faithful to him, then over time our faith will weaken. And life becomes empty. Because you see, as followers of Christ, we were created to give Him glory. And the only way to give Him glory is to be faithful regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the cost. And so Gershel says further, he says, but if you live boldly, if you live boldly, if you live in a way that proclaims your life and your words proclaim the gospel, you will face opposition. There will come times whenever we face opposition. But the amazing thing is that when we face opposition, if we are being true to Christ, what happens when we face that opposition, instead of becoming weaker, we become stronger. Our faith is strengthened, and we ultimately become closer to God because of the challenges, because of the persecution. It's something none of us want to face. But when we do, how do we live differently? Very quickly, four things that it takes to have a different perspective in persecution. First thing is, you've got to count the cost. All too often, I think we enter into our relationship with Christ from that perspective of, well, that means I get to go to heaven. When I die, that means that God's going to see me as His child, and surely everything's going to go well. Scripture proclaims over and over to us that in this life you will have trouble. Verse 12 tells us, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes to test you, as though something strange were happening to us. We need to count the cost. Here's what it cost us to follow Christ. It is expensive. It cost us everything. It might even cost us our physical life on this earth. But that's only the beginning. We have life eternal. What is it that we're unwilling to pay? We need to count the cost. We need to have that honest conversation with God and say, is there anything in my life that I'm unwilling to give you? Is there anything in my life that I am unwilling to allow you to take from me if it will give you glory? We have to count the cost. Is there anything that we will not allow God to have if that's what it takes for Him to receive glory in our lives? Secondly, rejoice in the result. You know, if it's simply that we experience this persecution, we experience these hard times, we experience these sorrows and trials, if it's just that we experience it, it's some kind of test that God gives us, I'm sorry, I don't think I want to do that. But that's not what is happening. God works miraculously through the hardest of times in our lives to give Himself glory and to bring people into His kingdom. There is no time in which the church grows more than in times in which it cost us to follow Him. Verse 13 says, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. It's not meaningless. Sometimes we can't see how that tapestry... Have you ever seen a tapestry? Europe has some of the most beautiful tapestries in the world. If you have visited some of the beautiful castles and different places, and you go in and you see these magnificent tapestries that are woven and show incredible scenes with incredible detail, and you think, that looks like a painting. It's fabulous. It's beautiful. And you see that tapestry, and you think, that is an artist who can weave that. Have you ever turned one of those things over? Don't do this in one of those castles, by the way. They really frown upon it. It may make your stay in the castle a little shorter. But if you look at the back, it's a mess. It's a mess. There are strands going everywhere. You see splashes of color here, but you can't make out at all what is on the other side. You can't see at all what's on the front side whenever you look at the back. We see things from the back side. And one day, we will have the opportunity to turn that corner and see from the front. And we'll see what God was doing. And what this verse is telling us is, don't be discouraged. In those times whenever you are suffering, and we suffer as Christ, we share in His sufferings, do not be discouraged, because God is at work weaving something that we cannot understand. And one day we'll have the opportunity to see as He sees, and we will see how His glory is displayed through our suffering. And in the midst of those times, the hardest of times, trust God and rejoice in the results that you cannot yet see, because He is at work and He is doing something for His glory. Thirdly, we turn shame into honor. Now, when these scriptures were written, they were written in a culture in which shame and honor were the two most important things for any person. Shame, losing face. Some of you are from cultures in which shame and honor are the way in which people interact with one another, in which you have status in a community or do not have status. And in this culture, not having, being shamed, being put to shame, being displayed as a shameful object of ridicule was the worst thing that you could do to someone. It was even worse than the physical persecution that was taking place. But that shame and the loss of community, the loss of place in life, was more important than anything. And what Peter says is, God, in the midst of the worst of circumstances, circumstances that should shame those who go through them, actually are used for His honor. Verses 14 through 16 say, if you are insulted, you're shamed for the name of Christ, you are blessed. What an incredible thing to say. If we are called names, do we feel blessed? For the name of Christ. That's important. Not because we've done something, but because of the name of Christ. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. In other words, don't live your life in a way that would give someone cause to shame you, to call you names. Don't live your life in such a way that if somebody finds out, you know, what is it that's hidden in our lives? Are our lives truly open? Now, you know, our lives are never closed from God. But if everything about your life, about my life, was open for all to see, if we just put the screen on and began to show slides of each of our lives, and the thoughts were displayed, and the hidden words, and the hidden attitudes, and the hidden things that we do, would our lives, would every aspect of our lives bring glory to God, or would they bring shame? And what Peter's saying is, don't let anyone insult you because you're a murderer, because you're living your life in a way, a thief or an evildoer, and I love this, or a meddler. Isn't it great that in the list of things that Peter says, don't live your life like this because it will detract from the glory of God, and he brings in meddler. Ouch. Ouch. Don't live your life like that. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be shamed. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. I don't know if you know, probably most of you have heard this, but the name Christian, little Christ, was actually first given to believers in Antioch, and it was meant as a slang word, as a derogatory term, calling them insults. You little, it means little Christ. And so it was given as a derogatory term, meaning to shame those who are followers of Christ. You little Christ, you. Has anyone called you, been meaning to insult you, and called you something that brings God honor and glory? You goody two-shoes. you whatever, if we are insulted in the name of Christ, for the name of Christ, he says we are honored. And then finally, keep an eternal mindset. The remainder of those verses say, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So he continues that thought of don't give anybody a chance to insult you because you're doing something wrong, but proclaim Christ with every aspect of your life. And keep in mind that this is an eternal race we're in. That there is an eternity, that we have hope on eternity. We have hope for eternity. That this life may end, but it is simply the step into eternity. We are eternal creatures. You've never met a man, woman, or child who is not an eternal person. And we have the possibility of living with him for eternity. This life is just a blink of an eye. And the suffering that we may experience here is temporary. And we have to keep our eye on the eternal, on what is truly important. The book of 1 Peter, one more chapter after chapter 4, ends, and I want to read a few verses out of chapter 5 because I love the way that Peter closes his thoughts on what it means to be the church in a time of suffering. And starting in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come to the time of reflection and of taking in your supper, Father, what an incredible gift it is to know that you died for us, that you suffered in a way that we cannot possibly imagine, but that you suffered so that we might have life. Lord, we struggle. We don't always understand why we suffer as we do, and yet, Father, give us the understanding of what it means to give you glory even in the midst of suffering. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our time and for the encouragement that you give us to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.